Turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, continuing our study of Paul's final letter written to his close friend and fellow worker Timothy. Of course, Paul calls Timothy his kindred spirit. That was the idea that Paul says he was his son in the faith. We see Paul's heart for Timothy, and he charges him to be faithful in ministry. Paul's about to die. He's in Rome in prison. This is the second time he's in prison in Rome. This time that they're going to kill him. They're going to put him to death. He writes to encourage Timothy. He says, Timothy, come as quickly as you can. We saw last time as we started chapter 2 that Paul charges Timothy to stand strong in the grace of God. And he told him what to do. And we'll see it more in verse 2 again this morning. As we saw verses 1 and 2 last week. We'll review that a little bit. But this morning, Paul uses a picture. He uses a picture of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And he uses those to paint a picture of how we can lead faithful people, how we can stand strong, how we can take the truths and pass them on. And so we can think about our purpose, and are we clear on our purpose and our responsibility as children of God? What should we be doing? What is our responsibility as those who belong to Jesus Christ? Our goal, of course, is to gain an understanding and make application from the truth. You know, whenever you play a game, there are rules to follow. We know that. I mean, whether it's a card game or whether it's a board game or whether it's sports, there's rules to follow. And we're supposed to play by the rules. And we all know what can happen when rules aren't followed. If you just go back about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we remember the end of a football game where the rules weren't followed. And sometimes it makes a mess. There are rules in life, that ways that believers are to live. We find them in the Word of God. God has given to us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, biblical truths to make application, to grow to be like Jesus Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. This morning, Paul uses the example of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer to show us how to live. We'd go, really? That's amazing. And it is. And as we look at this passage, we want to be encouraged to have the right priorities and to live by the Scripture and to live in such a way that he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we'll see that as we look at our passage this morning. Let's begin just with a brief review. Of course, Paul is near the end of his life. He is a great man. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He made 3 missionary journeys and then ended up in Rome, actually Rome twice. He wrote 13 letters of the New Testament. He's an amazing one. He is writing to his friend Timothy. He's in a dungeon in Rome about to be put to death. And it's not house arrest like the first time when he wrote Philippians and Ephesians and all those four letters we call prison epistles. This is different. He's in a hole in the ground, and he's in a dungeon, and there's no light. There's nothing there. He knows that it's near the end, and so he writes Timothy and says, Timothy, come as quickly as you can. Bring the coke, bring some of the letters, bring some of the things. This letter that he is writing to Timothy is really one that can instruct us. How do we live? How do we live out who we are? How do we live as children of God? What should you and I be doing? What is our emphasis? This morning, we actually saw verses 1 and 2 last week. We're going to put the whole thing together, verses 1 through 7 this week, and we'll see how it fits together. We see the emphasis that Paul makes. He says, stand strong in the grace of God. Take what you've been taught, pass it on to others. Be like a soldier. Be like an athlete. Be like a farmer. And we'll see it as he goes through this. And the bottom line is some great truths there that we're to make, that we can apply in our lives. This passage deals with priorities and discipline and rewards. And we'll see it as we go through. This is the last of Paul's 13 letters, the challenge to invest life. He's saying, Timothy, invest your life. Back over in chapter 1, he said sort of the same thing. He said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but stand strong. In fact, he said, suffer for the gospel. That was back in chapter 1. If anybody would know how to live, it would be Paul. In the very end of this letter, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I've ran the race. I've finished the course. And I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offer. And he says he's ready to die. So in this little passage, in this little section, we're seeing some great truths, Paul encouraging Timothy. Let me give you the outline of what we're going to do this morning. In verses 1 and 2, we saw that last week, but that's the charge to teach others. He says, stand strong in God's grace and pass on God's truths, building any other lives. And then in verses 3 through 7, he gives 3 illustrations, 3 aspects. He says, as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer. And we'll see this. And of course, last time we saw verses 1 and 2, the charge to stand strong. We'll review that just briefly, but we're going to see some great things. In fact, if you think about the very beginning of chapter 2, when he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, the things you've heard from me, entrust to faithful people." The bottom line is we need to pass on God's truth to others. We talk about this all the time. We had a membership training last week, and we're going to recognize some new members toward the end or at the end of the service. But one of the things that we always talk about, if I said to you in this room, how many of you believe it is your responsibility to share your faith and tell other people about Jesus Christ, every hand would go up. But then if I said to you, how many of you in this room believe it is your responsibility to teach other people and help other people know the Bible so they can know it and pass it on? Most of us will go, well, I don't, that's JB and maybe a few others. No, that's all of us. We have that great responsibility to pass on God's truths to others. And so look at verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, "Be you therefore my son." He calls him my son because he probably didn't lead Timothy to Christ, but he felt he was his son in the faith. He was the kindred spirit. He was a close one with him. He says, "You therefore my son, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And we always think about strong. And the word strong there in the Greek means strong on the inside. He's not saying, Timothy, get tough. He's saying, let God's power come through you, because the strength that we have on the inside is the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, you got to stand strong in the grace of God. Be strong in what God has given us. Be strong. God has given to every believer the strength to live for him. We talked about this last week, but what are some of the things God has given to us? He's given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of all of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "What, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You're not your own." So all of us have the Holy Spirit living in us, those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. We have the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword. It's God's revelation to us. We have spiritual gifts. Every one of us in this room who know Christ have at least one spiritual gift that we can be use and serve God for His glory. Then we have each other. We have the body of Christ. We have fellow believers. So He's given us so much. Now, I want to look at something again. We mentioned it last week. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Let's talk about grace for a minute, because it's misunderstood. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. We can't say, well, I deserve that. I deserve to go to heaven. No, nobody deserves to go to heaven. It's the grace of God that He saves us. Think about the grace of God for salvation. God so loved us, each one of us, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came and died and rose again, paying for sin and giving the gift of eternal life by faith. Ephesians says, by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works. No one could boast. Whoever believes in Him has eternal life. It's the grace of God for salvation. And every one of us in this room who have eternal life because we trusted in Christ, it's not because we earned it, we deserve it in any way. God in His grace through Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. There's the whole idea of the grace for the Christian life, when He's given us the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and spiritual gifts and fellow believers. And as we seek to go through life, it's the grace of God we have each other. It's the grace of God for the gifts. It's the grace of God for the Word of God. It's the grace of God for the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we don't want to take that for granted as we seek to live for Christ. And then we think about the future. It's the grace of God for future. He's going to return for us to be with Him forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17 talks about that. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the moment, the twinkle of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain, we caught up together with Him. It's going to be a change immediately. That's the grace of God. You understand that every one of us in this room who know Christ, by the grace of God, He could appear any second and take us with Him. Be strong, Paul says. Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, because we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Then he gives the charge. If you remember, the charge is in verse 2. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, you entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The charge is really be taught and teach others. Take what you've been taught and entrust it to others. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, the things that I taught that you saw, I taught it in front of a bunch of people. The things that I taught, you take those things and you entrust that to other people. Help people know and understand the Scripture. Our responsibility as believers is to take what we know and pass it on to other people so they can know it and they can pass it on to other people so that we can know it and apply it and pass it on. What did Paul talk Timothy? We talked about it last week. But he taught him about salvation. That was salvation was by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus had come and died and rose again. He taught him how to live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. He taught Timothy how to study the Bible. That's why later on in verse 15 in this chapter, he says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the word of God. He taught him how to get into the scripture for himself. He taught him the doctrines of God and man and the fall and end times and all of these things. All of these are basic truths that every one of us in this room ought to know. Let me tell you, we have two classes that stand out. We have SBI, we have all kinds of classes. They're all fantastic. But there are two that every one of us in this room ought to take. One is called the 412. It's called the 412 Foundations. Brian usually teaches that. It gives you the foundational truths of what's the gospel, how to present the gospel, security, the difference between being a believer and being a disciple, how to get into the scripture for yourself, how to have your quiet time, how to study. All of that's in that course. You need that. I teach a course that goes for a year. It's called the 2-2. It's based on 2 Timothy 2-2. That's strange. It's based on this verse, and it is. And it is what we call theology because I take you through every aspect from God, man, fall, sin, the church, salvation, end times, everything. And it's an incredible study. If you have not had those two courses, you need to make sure you get that so you can know what you're, you can say, this is what I believe, this is what I understand, this is what I've been taught. Now, I've got to help other people know this as well. Look what Paul says. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust. Entrust means to commit. It means to deposit. It means to give to their account. Entrust these to people. Tell the people, you need to know this. This is something that is vital. And the plan is that you and I would teach other people. We would take them through, help them understand what the gospel is and how to understand, how to know that you're saved and how to be able to share your faith and how to get into the scripture and understand how the Bible fits together to rightly divide the truth. So a question could be for all of us, who's teaching you and who are you teaching? Just as Paul says to Timothy, the things I taught you, Timothy, you turn around and teach other people. So who's teaching you? And who are you teaching? I love this verse. We talked about it last week, Colossians 1:28. Paul says this, and we proclaim him. That's Christ. We proclaim Christ, admonishing every person, every man, that's encouraging them, teaching every man with all wisdom, that's taking the truths and teaching them. Why? So that we may present every person complete. The word complete means mature. Present every person mature in Christ. That's our goal. Our goal is to make disciples, evangelism and training, leading people to Christ and training them and equipping them. And that's what Paul says. Timothy, you got to be strong in the grace of God. You got to stand strong and you got to take what you know and you got to pass it on to other people. With that in mind, he's going to give three illustrations of how to live as those who are passing this stuff on, as those who are standing strong in the grace of God. He gives three illustrations. He uses a soldier, he uses an athlete, and he uses a farmer. He says, as a soldier, you got to have the right priorities. As an athlete, you got to have the discipline. As the farmer, you got to expect the rewards. And we're going to see how that fits together. The rest of the passage will go fairly quickly. I just want you to see it. Look what he says in verse 3. And he's talking about here the right priorities. And here's the question. What are the right priorities? If we're going to stand strong for Jesus Christ, if we're going to take what we know and pass it on to others, what are the right priorities? Notice what he says in verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He said, be a good soldier. Suffer hardship as a good soldier. You know, there's a teaching today that says if you become a Christian, everything will get better. Actually, it becomes worse. I don't mean it in a bad way, but it becomes worse in the sense that you're in a fallen world. And before you trust Christ as Savior, you're a part of the fallen world. But when you trust Christ as Savior, you're pulled out of the fallen world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world anymore. And now, but you become an enemy of the fallen world and of Satan and everything else. And so he says, you're in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle. In fact, that's what I want you to realize. We're in a spiritual battle. You can't always see it. See, sometimes we think people are the enemy. People aren't the enemy. As Ephesians 6:12 says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers, against world forces, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The battle is not with people. The unbeliever is not the enemy. They're blinded. the enemy, Satan, and a fallen world system, and the flesh, and all of that. We are in a spiritual battle. He says, suffer hardship with me, Timothy, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, what is the priority of the soldier? Look what he says in verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. He says this, when a soldier gets into the active service, he doesn't care about the affairs of everyday life. Why? Because he's got to please the one who enlisted him. So he's not preoccupied with the things of this world. The good soldier says, I only care about what my captain tells me to do. That's what the word says when it says the one who enlisted him as the soldier. It's the captain, the one who says, go do this, go do this. He's not standing there saying, boy, I hope it doesn't rain. He's going to say, whatever the captain has for me to do. The soldier's priority is not the affairs of life, but to please his captain. And this should be the attitude of all of us who belong to Jesus Christ, because our captain is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're soldiers of Christ. We represent him in a fallen world. And we don't need to be concerned about all the things of this world. We need to be not entangled with the affairs of this life. I mean, think about the soldier. He didn't worry about the weather or the clothes or the food. He just said, whatever you want me to do. We can't worry about all the things of this world. We're not saying things of this world are wrong, because there's a lot of great things. But we want to live in such a way that our priority is to serve Jesus Christ wherever, whenever, and whatever he wants us to do. Have you ever said to him, Lord, I just want my life to count for you. I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It doesn't make any difference. I want to live for you. Wherever you have me, whatever you want me to do, I want my life to count for you. That's what it means to be a good soldier of Christ, because we're not worried about what this life has to offer. We're worried about serving the one who has saved us and put us into battle. And that's the powerful truth. Matthew 6, what does it say? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it goes on to say, and all these things will be added to you. You know what all those things are? Food and shelter, clothing. He says, listen, live first for God and his kingdom. Live first to touch lives for Christ. What does Romans say? I beseech you, brethren, offer your lives as a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the word of God so you'll know what the will of God is. What's your priority? Is your priority you, or is your priority to please the one who has saved you? Is the priority of our lives when we wake up in the morning, what have I got for me today? Or is the priority when you wake up in the morning to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want my life to count for you. I want to go wherever you want me to do. I'll just use me for your glory, wherever you've placed me. And this is where you have me now. I want to live for you. That's our priority as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So the right priority is to please our Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives a second illustration, and it's an athlete. And he says, athletes obey. They obey the rules. They live by the rules. Look what he says. And if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Now, the Greek here literally doesn't really say as anyone competes as an athlete. It actually says whoever strives for the masteries. That's the real Greek. But the word compete in the games, because the word to compete in the games is from a Greek word, athle. We get athlete from it. It's compete in the games. It's the idea of to train. And back in this time when this was written, when Paul says if anyone competes as an athlete or they compete in the games, there were people in the towns. It was sort of like the Olympics. And they would pick certain people from towns who were the best athletes. And they picked them out and they were chosen. And they all went to the same place and trained together from all the different surrounding areas. And you got there, and there were foods you ate. There were ways you trained. If you were going to be a runner, you trained to be a runner. If you were going to throw something, you did. And they trained them. And you had to get up at certain times. You had to eat certain foods. You had to do. If you did not obey the rules, you were dismissed to send home. If while you competed in the games, you didn't obey the rules, you were sent home. And so it was an embarrassment to be an athlete, and you didn't follow the rules, and you got sent home. I've all told you the story of the guy when I was coaching at Mississippi State in 1980. I coached a guy that made the Olympic team. And he was a great athlete. But we didn't go that year, by the way. It's kind of a sad thing. It was 1980. He made the Olympic team, and the United States boycotted. He didn't get to go to the Olympics. He was a great athlete. He was a great decathlon guy. And I remember at the end of the first day, you run five events on one day, five events on the second day. It was the fifth event. He's so far ahead of everybody else because he's that good. He's top class. This is the SEC championship, track and field championship. And this is the end of the first day. And the 400 meters is the last race that day. And he took off. And I mean, he was burning it up. He was a great athlete. He was really big, 6'4", 225 pounds. As a pole vaulter, that is huge. He was a vaulter. He could jump. I jumped over 7'1.5". In fact, he equaled the world record in the decathlon high jump. He was that good an athlete. He comes running around the curve. He's way ahead. I'm going, go Lee, go Lee. He comes in. I time him. It was a good time. And all of a sudden, the guy's got this flag up. That's always a bad thing. If you watch a football game and they throw that flag down, that is a bad thing unless it's for the other team, right? Well, I see a flag, and I thought, well, we're okay. And he comes over, and he says, Pelé, disqualified. And that's my man. And I said, well, hey, what happened? And he said as he ran around the curve, he stepped on the line. And back in those days, the rules now is you can't even step on the line. Back in those days, you couldn't step on the line three straight steps. And he stepped on the inside of the line three straight times, and they disqualified him. After the first day, he still almost was in first place with four events, and everybody else had five. But it was really a sad day because he could have gone on and maybe broken the record. If you don't follow the rules, you're out of the game. He says, if anyone competes as an athlete and he doesn't win the prize unless he lives according to the rules. Well, what do faithful believers do? Faithful believers live in obedience to the Bible. We're going to stand strong for Christ. We're going to make a difference for Christ. We're going to take what we've been taught and pass it on to others. We're going to stand strong in the grace of God. If we're going to be like a good soldier who is living our priorities for serving Jesus Christ, if we're going to be the athlete, we got to live according to the rules, and that means live according to the Bible. We're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about made-up man-made rules. We're talking living by the Word of God, and that's why you have to know the Scripture. That's why you have to study it. That's why you have to understand it so we can know what the Scripture says. Many, many believers don't know the Scripture. The people have been Christians all their lives, and you start saying things, and they'll say, well, I know that. And I say, where is that? They have no idea where it is. They've heard stories all their lives, but they don't know where it is in the Bible. You need to know where it is in the Bible, and you need to know how to live it out in your life. And that's why 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved, accurately handling the Word of God. See, the Bible is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is the truth. John 17:17. It is effective. It never comes back void, and it is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's the Word of God. Are you and I living by the Bible? Paul says, run the race so you can get the prize. He says, I discipline myself. I live by the rules. I live by the Word of God. So make sure you understand, we're not talking about legalism and man-made rules and all those things that people have taught all people's lives. We talk about living by the truths of the Scripture. Run the race. Get the prize. So what have we seen? The right priority as a soldier is to live in such a way to please our captain. The right lifestyle as the athlete is to obey the Word and discipline ourselves. There's one more illustration that he uses the farmer to get the rewards. Look what he says. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. The hardworking farmer gets the reward. When you work and you serve and you do what you're supposed to do, you will be rewarded. He receives the reward of his labor. And every one of us in this room, if you live with your priorities to please Jesus, if you live your life according to the Scripture, if you stand strong, and if you pass on what you know, one day he will reward you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is the rewarding seat of Christ, there will be rewards for faithful service. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear our Savior say that. So here's the charge. You stand strong. You teach others. Have the right priority to please your captain. Live by the Scripture and expect to be rewarded. And so as the soldier, please Jesus Christ. As the athlete, obey the Word. As the farmer, live in such a way that you'll be rewarded. So here's the question. Do you and I have the right priorities, pleasing our Savior? We discipline our lives to live according to the Bible. And is our lifestyle such that will result in him saying, well done, good and faithful servant? Look how he ends this little section. He says, consider what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. He'll help you put it together. He'll help you see it. He'll help you understand it. We realize that we are to take what we know and pass it on. And we must have the priority of obeying Jesus, living by the word of God, and we will be rewarded. So what does he say? Take what you've been taught and teach others. Please Jesus, obey the scripture, receive the rewards. We've seen this. Be taught, teach others, please Christ, obey the Bible, and God will reward. What a great passage. Let me give you just a couple of applications to think about. First of all, let's realize our purpose of making disciples. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's get taught, and then let's teach others. If you hadn't had those classes, get those classes. Sign up for those classes and say, I want the classes at SBI on Wednesday nights. I want to get in there. I want to get these things down. I want to get in the grow groups. I want to come on Sunday morning grow groups because we're teaching people there. I want to come on Sunday morning where we're being taught. I want to know the scripture so that I can turn around and pass it on to others. I want to equip the believers. That's what the plan is. It's got to always be done in God's power. It's not our power. It's God's power through us. And you cannot pass on what we do not know. If we don't know it, we can't pass it on. Our responsibility is to know it so we can pass it on. Second, let's be faithful men and women. Let's have the right priorities. Let's have the obedience to the word. Let's expect the rewards. And so get the right priority and please Jesus Christ. Be disciplined to obey the word of God and expect God's rewards for faithful service. May we be faithful men and women. May we be strong in the grace of God. May we take what we've been taught and pass it on. May we be a good soldier who pleases our Master, Jesus Christ. May we be a great athlete who lives according to the rules to the Bible. And may we, as the hardworking farmer, expect to be rewarded.